The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to We Knew Him First episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 835, and I'm Snowy White.
And dear listeners, I'm Aaron. And dear listeners, this episode is brought to you by the fine folks at True Cult Coffee. Goodness gracious, I need a cup of True Cult right now. TRVEKVLTCoffee.com, the hottest, blackest, most metal coffee. They're great people. It's great coffee, and it's metal people making coffee for metal people. It's not a giant conglomerate. You're supporting like a family feeding his kids, you know? So if you're looking for great coffee and you want to stick it to the man, get True Call Coffee. TRVEKVLTCoffee.com. Damn the man. Save the coffee.
That's right. Good one. Hello. Myself, I got some True Cavalt going here in my hockey styled Tim Hortons mug because I'm a little bummed. Before we kind of get on with the grunt here, as my dad would say, of course, obviously, I'm a good Canadian boy. So hockey is a thing. The NHL playoffs are going on. And both of my teams in the last couple days, two consecutive days, both my teams, the Winnipeg Jets and the Toronto Maple Leafs, were ousted from the playoffs.
So
yeah.
Is hockey officially the longest season out of any sport?
I think if you count, because the playoffs in the NHL have expanded so much, you know, like, because, okay, like to accommodate television schedules and all that, the playoffs, it used to, like when I was a kid, the playoffs used to wrap up in April. Okay. But now every series is seven games and you have to accommodate for television and all that. So the NHL could be still going in mid-June. What's the date today? May 19th, 20th? Right.
Okay, so then it's safe to say that hockey ends while baseball is, you know, going, and then starts again while baseball is still going. So the summer sport, baseball, hockey ends and starts while that game is going on, while that season's
going. Well,
how come football is the only one where it's like, we're just going to do a couple months and then we're out?
It seems that way, yeah. And even I think our CFL have different schedule, like different times than you guys due to our weather. We start a lot earlier.
Like saying this out loud, I really feel that Because, baseball viewership is nowhere near what football viewership is. And same with hockey. Like, you get the people who get excited when their team goes to the Stanley Cup. But what if both of those, sports said, you know what, why don't we shorten the season? What would happen if baseball only went April through August? And then what if, because I mean, hockey and football run concurrently as well. But I mean, like, what if we called hockey in February, right? Like
Ended
that's
hockey?
yeah, like that's it'd be, instead of having the Stanley Cup still going in June, like what if hockey, if the Stanley Cup has to be played by March 31st, and I guess that's like March Madness time. But I mean, just all these like crazy things. I'm like, I just don't understand. Why do they play so many games and football plays so few games? And don't football players still make more than most of the players in the other sports?
It's a case by case thing. Like baseball players, probably on average make the most because some of their salaries are now going into the hundreds of millions of dollars over like a dozen years or whatever.
Okay,
Like now the
gotcha.
baseball is still, and the reason why they don't play as many football game, okay, like b baseball, you could play a double header every day if you're in shape. Hockey is a contact sport, but you can
Okay.
play three or four games a week. But basketball, is not really that contact. You can play
Right, not
even more
technically a
games a week.
contact sport, but still a contact sport. You're right.
Yeah,
F
but there's
football is
this.
definitely a contact sport. But okay. But here's the thing. So if we're gonna say football is a contact sport, what about the fucking boxers and MMA guys?
That's why boxers only fight every 6 months. That's
Oh,
why
that's it?
MMA guys
Okay.
only, yeah,
Yeah. This is
That's
where we
why,
learn how little I know about sports.
Well, you're not a sports guy. I am. I
I'm
teach
definitely
you about
not.
sports. You teach me about gear.
That is
That's,
true.
hey, there we go.
All right.
Right
Well,
on, right
this
on.
is
So,
Sports Talk with Aaron and Snowy. Continue your
right.
con here tonight.
That's right. That's right. No, that's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to mourn my teams. Obviously, I want to see the Winnipeg Jets winning the Stanley Cup, but in my lifetime, and the Toronto Maple Leafs are just an institution up here in Canada. I've literally watched them play all my life, but they've the last time they won a Stanley Cup was 1967.
Oh,
Now,
that's harsh.
I was born in 71. So my whole life watching the, growing up watching them play almost every Saturday night on Hockey Night in Canada, and still going into my adulthood and all that, they just never saw him win a cup, and it's just something that I want in my lifetime.
Yeah,
So, but
I totally get
it's,
that, 'cause I would like to
yeah.
see the Pirates win, or at least go to the World Series again. Even
Well,
though they didn't,
79, yeah.
I know they won them in the 70s, but I wasn't really old enough to like comprehend that. I would like to see it now when I could enjoy it. And I don't think that's going to
Makes
happen
sense.
while I'm still alive.
Well, hopefully. Just not at the expense of the Blue Jays.
Maybe they'll play the Blue Jays. Like that'd
Well,
be great. The Pirates and the Blue Jays
then
in the
you're
same World Series. We're going to have to meet
then
up for that one.
then your Pirates just aren't winning the World Series then. Sorry.
I didn't say they have to win it. I just want to see them play it.
Well, okay, fair enough, fair enough. Okay, but maybe we should get on with it here. We definitely have a pretty interesting discussion that's it's something that's been in the back of my head like for years, literally decades. So I'm actually kind of surprised it took this long to get to it, but let's get on with it. How about for excuse me, for the good folks at True Cavalt Coffee in our mandatory metal segment. I kind of went into the vaults and decided on really cool 90s thrash band, one of those death thrash, blackened thrash, like whichever you will, all those great bands that Osmosis Productions were putting out in the 90s. And I went with Inferno, their 1997 album, Downtown Hades. What an album title! Like, that is amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That would also make a great movie title. A band name, like you name it, Downtown Hades. That's absolutely fantastic. So, once again, for the good folks at True Cavalt Coffee, this is Inferno with Thrash Till Death.
We're always on the lookout for fresh new talent. Check out this indie spotlight.
Thank you.
been very busy this week. Here's our metal fix.
For tonight's Indie Spotlight, that was American Metalers Arch Druid from their self-titled album. And that was a self-titled song. They really like that name. Facebook.com/ArchDruid, archdruid.bandcamp.com. Really, really cool stuff. That's one of those bands, like we get promotional material, you know, well, just play our stuff, please. But that's one of those bands I kind of discovered out in the wild, out on my own. And I love it when that happens, you know, you just... just boo, there's this cool new band. And it's like, yeah, we have to introduce this band to our listeners. So good stuff. Go and check them out. So my friend, like my metal fix, I don't know, is not going to be much because of all this hockey that's been going on. But what's been going on with you?
Well, same, dude. There was a show last night that I missed, and I'm still kicking myself, but I was just so stinking exhausted. I knew I wasn't even going to be able to, like, keep my eyes open to drive. I was that tired.
Oh, then don't.
Yeah, yeah, it was one of those things. So my wife's like, no, you should go, like, because it was even ended up being a free show. And the band was Dash Riprock. Are you familiar with them? So they're kind of like rockabilly, psychobilly, roots rock. They had a hit in the 90s. It was all over the radio called Smoke Some Pot. And it was to the tune of At the Hop. And it was one of those songs that when I heard it, I'm like, okay, yeah, like you did. I chuckled. I'm like, okay, this is funny. But I didn't take it seriously. I just figured that was somebody doing a comedy song. I did not realize it was a real band. And then... I had on one of my Pandora channels. I hear this band. I'm like, who's this? This is great. And I look and it's Dash Riprock. I'm like, Dash Riprock? Why do I know that name? And then I look up and I'm like, yeah, the band that did Smoke Some Pot. And I'm like, fuck, they're a good band? All these years I could have been following these guys? You know, like it's one of those kind of moments. And so... I was so excited that they were coming through here, and they were going to play one of the barbecue joints downtown. And it's even my favorite barbecue joint in town. Like that's what just like insult
that's
to injury.
That's an old man statement there. That's an old man thing.
It's so funny you say that.
That's true.
It's so funny you say that, because a buddy of mine sent me a meme. He's like, after the age of 40, you either get really into smoking meat or something else, and I can't remember what the something else is, because I told myself, right, yeah, I chose smoking meat, you know, because like I have a Big Green Egg. I haven't used it in a couple of years, you know, since we moved here. It's just been crazy, but I've been thinking, I'm like, yeah, I need to get out the Big Green Egg. I want to make some I want to smoke some corned beef and make like our own pastrami sandwiches and stuff like that.
Good idea.
Yeah, like just there's so many things I should be doing. And I want to do it again. Cause I don't know where all the time's gone, you know, like what happened with all this stuff. So I missed that yesterday, and I'm still kicking myself. I'm really bummed, because, you know, I told you, I want to go out. I want to support these bands. Like I said, it was even a free show. So I was going to go and support the local restaurant. Cause you know, again, this isn't at a chain. Like this is all, well, I mean, it is technically a small chain, cause they have, you know, quite a few locations, but it's local. It started local with one location on Sullivan's Island, you know? So it's the kind of stuff I want to support here. But anyway, so that was a bummer. But remember we talked about the new Alice Cooper coming out?
Yes.
All right. So I finally bit the bullet and I ordered the album on yellow vinyl.
Ooh, nice.
So I pre-ordered that. And remember I was saying like, oh, I wish this album was available. This album cover was available as a poster. Well, it is. It is, and it's limited to 1,000 copies.
Ah, okay.
And so I have that coming as well.
I'm going to keep an eye out for that, yes.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Even if I don't put the poster up anywhere... Just like to have it, like with the record and all
Yeah,
that.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Like I'm looking around my room for wall space, 'cause like I'm gonna frame it so it stays in decent shape. But I never thought I'd be in this position, but I have so much art on my walls. There's really nowhere else to put any more art.
Yeah, our bedroom is getting pretty covered. It doesn't help when we go to all these conventions and I see posters and all that, and I'm like, like, well, I need this, I need this. And it's like, yeah, but where am I gonna put it?
Well, that's the hardest part. That's really where I'm making these decisions. So I really have to find great art. And I mean, two of the pieces were from the Kirk Hammett collection, tours that he was doing, where he had some of the thing. But again, it's great art. It's the horror movie art. The Alice Cooper poster will fit right in on that particular wall, but I'm kind of out of space. So I got to figure out if I want to move some other stuff around, what I'm going to do. I don't know. But I got to put it somewhere. I just don't know where.
One of life's little hard decisions.
I know. It could
No.
definitely be worse, right? Like if that's the
Yeah.
hardest decision I got to make today,
That's right. That's right. That's right. You know
that's
what?
not too
Sorry.
bad. Yeah,
B
go ahead.
before you go on and before I forget, when you brought up the Alice Cooper single and all that,
Yeah.
remember, like we first spoke about it about two, three episodes ago. We were both so stoked about this. And I mentioned how I kind of brought up through the course of that conversation the 1981 movie Venom.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh shit, I couldn't believe it. It's up on Shudder now. What a freaky
No
thing. Like,
way.
here's this obscure movie from decades ago pops up shortly after, like, we talk about this, and it's like, holy shit, I couldn't believe it. I was blown away, and yeah, I sat down and fired up the popcorn, and like, I'm like, okay, hopefully, this holds up after all these years, and it's like, yeah, it's kind of seeing its age, but still, it was a fantastic watch. Like, if you're a horror film fan, okay. Just quit pissing around with Netflix. Okay, if you have a Roku TV, a smart TV, you already have Tubi, that's fantastic. But you got to get yourself Shudder. Like, there's just so many wicked, wicked movies from all over the world, from every era, and it's dirt cheap. It's like $6 a month or whatever it is, $4 a month, so. Yeah, I was so stoked, like this, just so freaky that this movie just pops up. So, sorry, go on.
Well, no, along that lines, because that was technically the end of my metal fix. But when you said about Shudder, have you heard of the Monster Palooza convention that happens in California?
Yeah, like I see it advertised in the back of magazines and starting like the back of horror film magazines, and it pops up on Facebook. Yeah, it's like Comic-Con, but horror films.
Yeah, I feel like you and I need to try and make it to that.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that would be the most fun that we could have outside of going to a show. And I mean, we'll be in California in the LA area, so I'm sure we'll find something at the Whiskey. But I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
if we could plan that some year where we meet up in California and go to that show, like then we could just make a whole rock and roll tour. And just record all our episodes. From there,
There
we could
you
record like five different episodes. Like, this is us doing our episode, 932 in front of Lemmy's statue.
go. Oh, that would be great.
And having a
Just
couple
stuff
Lemmies
like
while we do
that.
it. Yeah, like,
For sure.
cause and I thought of this because Shudder's going to be at Monster Palooza, and there's going to be so many great people this year. I'm like, man, I'd really like to go.
I'm gonna look
But
that up. I'm gonna
when you
look up the
mentioned
lineup.
Shudder, I'm like, oh yeah. When you look at the people and then like all the vendors and stuff, dude, We would be kids in a candy store, literally. Like we'd be losing our minds. It's just gonna be so great. But anyway, yeah, that's it for my metal fix, man. What do you got?
Okay, well, with myself, like I said, sorry, I don't really have much this week because of all the other things. It's not just the hockey playoffs like the NHL, but the Professional Women's League playoffs. My Ottawa Charge are in the finals. The Saskatchewan Rush in the National Lacrosse League are in the finals. That's going to a third game. So there's all of this going on. So I really don't have very much. But one of the things that I did want to talk about is just some videos that I found just pissing around on YouTube. Okay. All about the Go-Go's. They're still around. They haven't put out a new album since God Bless the Go-Go's about 20 years ago and all that. But I would definitely like to see a new record, and but I don't know at this point if we're going to, but they're still, playing the occasional show here and there. I caught a video of the song Vacation at Coachella. But as you're kind of going down the rabbit hole, I found a couple of videos where April 9th, okay, they played the Roxy in LA. And I thought that, oh, this is really cool. Okay, they did head I the videos that I saw, and they're homemade videos, like some guy with his camera, but it actually turned out quite well. Just the sound and the visual for it. And I saw head over heels, of course, our lips are sealed, and we got the beat. Okay, all the hits. Okay, because that's what someone is going to record and then put up on YouTube. And I had a couple takeaways from these videos. Number one, it's so cool how they're doing this club. They were this legendary rock band that, okay, they got their roots from the punk scene. That's the only reason why I'm talking about them. But they did arenas and they're doing the big festivals. Like, I don't know how many people the Roxy holds. It can't be more than like 500 or even less than that. It's a club, right? So
Yeah, I
I thought
guess.
that, yeah, I thought that was really cool. Okay. And Jane Wiedlin, the guitarist, the perky, spunky, this short little firecracker that she was, not only way back then, okay, but today as well. And I'm looking at her in these videos, and it's like she hasn't aged. Okay, the other members, you could see the wrinkle on their face and the gray in their hair, and that's fine. They all still look fantastic. Okay, but Wiedlin hasn't aged. Okay. And her hair is blue. Okay. Which that okay. She's looking good. She's looking cool. She's got an FUK DJT sticker on her guitar. This chick still rules. Like, it was absolutely fantastic. I don't know how familiar you are with the Go-Go's, but obviously you remember them from back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that was really cool. Like, that's definitely one of those gigs I really would have liked to have seen, just because of the venue, and the band itself and all that. It was absolutely fantastic. It really got me going. And another thing about this was okay, there's people, okay, that could live in LA their entire life, okay, and be music fans, okay, but still have never stepped foot in the Roxy, the Whiskey, any of those legendary clubs because, yeah, they're rock fans, but maybe that's just not their scene. Maybe they're more into more mainstream music because, we have a lot of we have a lot of music fans in Winnipeg, but most of them have never gone to a club to or a small theater like the park, the big theater, okay, and the arena, because like those are more mainstream fans, and that's what what's what the Go-Go's back in the early 80s kind of attracted, a more mainstream audience. So it just got me thinking, like, there are people, okay, that lived in LA their whole life that are probably at the Roxy for the first time, like to see this gig, because they're just Joe and Jane Average, but it's nostalgia night.
That would be interesting to
And
know. That'd be kind of cool.
yeah, like just to kind of know a percentage. Like I'm not being an elitist snob or anything like that. Like, go and have fun. Like, it's just something that kind of, oh yeah, I'll bet you, because that's, that's kind of the way the mainstream works. So, but we're gonna get on with some music here right away because I'm super stoked. Radioactive Metal alum Lord Vigo have a new record out courtesy of the good folks at High Roller Records. Walk the Shadows came across my desk, and yeah, I'm still digging this band. This is absolutely fantastic. Available May 30th. So yeah, you're still gonna have, by the time this goes up on the air, you won't have that long a wait. So we're gonna whet your appetite. This is Lord Vigo with Walk the Shadows.
We'll be right back. step into the spotlight with Embodiment Printing. Whether you're gearing up your business, setting the stage for your band, or creating buzz for an event, our custom printed ware is your canvas. With over 6 years of expertise and a stellar 5-star Google review rating, we offer competitive rates and top-notch quality. Plus, for orders over 24, we'll waive the screen setup fees. We're not just about apparel. Get your business cards, posters, flyers, stickers, and more with us. Visit embodimentprinting.com today. Embodiment Printing. Let's make it happen.
Flat spot, recording artists Day by Day, new EP Dust and Ashes out now. That was Until Then, It's War. And this past weekend, okay, two other Flat Spot recording artists, Speed and Whispers, came through town. And it was one of those gigs, you know, that I wanted to get to, but unfortunately, like yourself, I never made it out, and I'm kind of kicking myself. But yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff coming out on Flat Spot now. A couple episodes ago, we dropped a track from Jive Bomb, and that Day by Day, this is a kick-ass band as well. So yeah, you can expect some more from Flat Spot in the episodes to come. I'm really excited about the stuff that they're putting out, and I'm excited to finally get to this discussion. Okay, now, because like being like metal fans, you know, we're kind of more immersed into the lesser known bands and more into the underground. So there's a lot of times where we'll discover a band, you know, that has gone on to more mainstream success. Okay, I'm not talking about, you know, I discovered Exodus, you know, with Bonded by Blood. So that kind of falls into what we're talking about. No, that's not necessarily, what we're talking about, because Exodus never really broke through into that huge mainstream, area, which we kind of want to discuss here. So yeah, that's kind of what we're talking about. Bands that we knew before their we not just you and I, but the metal world, metaldom, as I like to call it. We knew these bands, before they broke on through to the other side, shall we say. So when you think about these bands, like what's the first one that comes to your mind?
Well, would it be bands like the Ramones?
You know what? That's it, because like they didn't have a huge mainstream, but they definitely, like, the New York punk scene, discovered them in the mid 70s. Okay. But they did keep getting bigger and bigger. And while I don't think they ever would have played an arena, here in my secondary market or anything like that, yeah, they did start getting, yeah, but just is the mainstream audience, like, is it a mainstream audience,
Well, I'm going to say yes. And the reason is because the Ramones were featured in one of the newer Spider-Man movies on the soundtrack.
Right. You're
So
right, yeah.
the fact that they made it to a newer soundtrack and they are absolutely as New York as you can get, I feel like that's happened, but that's happened because of all the honestly all the exposure that they got from different metal bands. I mean, honestly, like their U2, and I'm not sure what album it was. It was a fairly recent album, but they had the song, I think the song was called Thank God for Joey Ramone,
Okay.
and it was all about Bono discovering the Ramones for the first time and what that meant to him. And that's not even a band you'd ever associate with the Ramones, but that's the impact of the Ramones. And that's why I feel like more people today know who the Ramones are than when I was in high school. More
Yeah, and
average
then
people
even
today.
before that, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you made a good point. Okay. Yeah, and they also went on to, they at least introduced themselves to the horror to horror fans through the theme song
Oh,
to Pet
their Pet
Sematary.
Sematary. That's a good call, too.
Yeah, which is still in my top five all-time favorite songs, and it probably always will. And all that. So, yeah. Okay, you're right. That's a good choice. Immediately, what comes to mind, like when I think this, is Alice in Chains. Okay, like their debut record, Facelift, okay, was out for about a good year, and like before the whole Seattle thing, before, and the before Seattle, before hard alternative and all that, before that took off, Alice in Chains, that record, was plying its trade in the metal world. Like, that's how I first discovered Alice in Chains. The
Oh,
We Die
yeah.
Young, the We Die Young video popped up on the Power Hour, and that's the only place for that good year that would play that video, at least up here. And of course, Alice in Chains would go on. Was it the Clash of the Titans
I
tour?
yes, I know what you're talking
It
about with Megadeth.
was Megadeth, and they replaced Death Angel on that tour. It was Megadeth, Testament. I can't remember exactly. I'm kicking myself. I thought this was something that I was never going to forget. But yeah, they had to replace Death Angel, and it's like, holy shit, like metal's really getting behind this band. So yeah, like when I think of haha, we knew them first, that's numero uno that comes to mind. What else are you thinking?
Well, what about the Misfits?
Okay, how much of a mainstream appeal do they have,
Well,
though?
I don't know, but I feel like the Misfits have really, really blown up over the years.
Okay.
And I do attribute some of that to Metallica, at least, at the very least.
That's interesting. They're definitely, you'll see a lot of people wearing the Misfits merch, but just like the Ramones as well, and Nirvana as well, and Thrasher magazine. You'll see a lot of people wearing the merch, and I'm not doing the name three songs bullshit here, but I'm saying that might not necessarily be reflective, exactly how well they're known, because people will buy merch without really even knowing anything about them.
Yeah,
You know
but
what I
unless you're
mean?
a horror fan, you're not buying the Misfits merch if you don't know who they are. Because I mean,
Yeah.
the Misfits stuff, I mean, the Ramones stuff, yes, like you might see that on a Kardashian. We're not going to see a Kardashian wearing a Misfits
A
t-shirt.
Misfits, yeah. No, that's true enough. I don't know, man. Like, I just like, because I don't see the Misfits when they go on tour. Are they playing arenas?
They
You know?
sold out. What was the last thing? And I'm talking like the original Misfits where they got Glenn Danzig and Doyle both back.
Okay.
So I mean as original as you can get. The three members we all know the most. The drummer is a revolving door almost like Spinal Tap.
He blowed up real good.
Yeah, no kidding. But when they played, was it Riot Fest in Chicago that sold out in like seconds? And then when they did whatever tour they did where they were gonna do some other shows, anytime you have a Misfits show with those three guys playing it, it's sold out in seconds every time. And that's what makes me think that they've got a pretty strong following, especially for people to know that there's a difference if Glenn Danzig is there. Because I mean, I don't feel like Danzig has been relevant in years.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time there was a Danzig album, like, but we could be wrong. I don't know.
No, there's one,
Yeah.
it within like the last 4 to 5 years.
Okay.
But I mean, it's still like I don't feel like Danzig has been putting out relevant music.
Oh, okay.
Where young people are going to be like, oh yeah, I got the new Danzig album, you know.
Right. Danzig is relevant for one day a year, Mother's Day. Holy shit, did I get tired on this past Mother's Day just a little while ago? Did I ever get tired of the Danzig memes? And it's not even 10. Yeah, it's like it wasn't even 10 in the morning, and I must have seen like 10 Danzig memes and references to the song and all that just because it was Mother's Day. And I'm like, oh, come on, people. Like, this is too easy. You know what I mean? Like, oh, at least what about the Police's mother from Synchronicity? That was never a single. You'd score extra cool snowy points for a reference to a song like that. But yeah, I was just getting tired of that. It's just great song, but come on, let's dig a little deeper. I guess everything that I just said about Alice in Chains applies to Soundgarden as well.
I was
Here's a
thinking that one
band.
too, yeah.
Yeah, 'cause here's a band We, as metalheads, we discovered them. Okay, Super Unknown was the big breakthrough record. The previous one, Bad Motorfinger, they started building their audience, but it was us. Like it was the metal world that said, "Hey, this shit's really cool," and all that. And then a couple years later, like grunge breaks. Everyone jumps on their Nirvana bandwagon and they start discovering these other bands. And all of a sudden, here's this fresh new band, Soundgarden. Okay, cool. Great band. I love them. But they're hardly a new band.
Right. Well,
So.
so along that lines, Faith No More is kind of like that too, right?
Good choice. Good, yeah.
I mean, Faith No More, I don't think they've had the staying power in the public eye like Alice in Chains and
No, you're right.
oh fuck, who'd you just say? Soundgarden, jeez.
Yeah,
They
Soundgarden,
haven't quite
Nirvana.
had the staying power, but when they blew up, they were massive. And honestly, if they could have held it all together, they'd probably be spoken about in the same sentence as Soundgarden and Alice in Chains.
Right. That
You know?
yeah. Now that you mentioned Faith No More, I remember. Okay, they had a couple albums previous, but once again, I didn't discover them until the third album. What the hell was it called? With Epic
Yeah.
on it, and oh shit, I don't have it on the tip of my
I don't
brain.
remember what it's called either, but I know what you're thinking about.
But from out of nowhere. I believe was the first single, and just like Alice in Chains' facelift, it was out a good year, before Joe and Jane Average discovered the song Epic. Like all of a sudden, like I've been listening to this album, for about a year, and all of a sudden, I have some of my mainstream friends of friends, and all that. Now they want to hear this great new song, Epic. Can you play it? At house parties and all that. I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah, I love this. I do too. Okay, so good choice. Now that you got me thinking, I should have had that on the list. Another one that comes to mind as well as is Green Day. Like their third
See,
album,
I was
Dookie.
wondering about that.
Dookie is their third album, and that's the one that went through the roof, and I think it's like diamond in the US. And they're one of the biggest bands in the world, but they had two albums in the underground on the old Lookout Records label, which was punk and pop punk and all that. And their artists just were underground. Okay, I had their second album, Kerplunk. I bought the secondhand cassette of that, and then about a year or so later, Dookie was released, and that went through the roof. But yeah, they were definitely an underground band first that really only punk knew about them. They actually played Winnipeg a couple of years before the Dookie record in the small Royal Albert Club, which is Western Canada's answer to CBGB's. And no one would have thought, that Green Day, which unfortunately I didn't make that show, I had priorities, like a called a small child. I wasn't going to a lot of shows in the early 90s. No one would have predicted, like, boom, what was going to happen a couple years later, and then how Green Day would absolutely take off. So that was one that did that came to mind right away as well. What you got?
I feel like we're avoiding the most obvious one, but Metallica.
Yeah, I was gonna let you do that one, but
Yeah.
you're right. Like, yeah, this is definitely this is a classic case of exactly what we're talking about because okay, like it all changed with Sandman.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now
Well,
Justice,
honestly, it
they
started
were
swinging with Justice.
it it
It
was
really
it
started
was
swinging with Justice. There were people with Justice that would not have listened to puppets that are all of a sudden getting on there because of one.
because of one, yeah, and when they played here in Winnipeg for the Justice tour, they never played the full arena. They really played half of the arena, and it was still, almost full. So yeah, like with Justice, they were getting bigger and they were attracting some mainstream audiences. And then, like I said, once Sandman blew up, okay, that attracted like a lot of the bandwagon jumpers and got a lot of mainstream attention, media entered the public consciousness and all that. But you and I, okay, and all the old school thrashers from our day, from when we were teenagers and all that, those first three records, man. Okay, three of the best records ever made.
Oh, yeah.
But mainstream just hadn't come along, and I was good with that. You
Okay,
know,
so
they were our little secret, and it was fantastic.
here's a serious question.
Uh-oh.
How is Maiden essentially as big as Metallica, but nobody knows they are? Like, think
That's a
about it.
good question.
Like,
Yeah.
Maiden fills arenas all over the world. All over the world.
Yeah.
They can sell
You're
out
right.
stadiums like nobody's business, but yet nobody knows. No, like only metal fans know. How is that
Yeah,
possible?
I think you're right. I think you're right. I don't think like okay, mainstream people know the name Iron Maiden, okay? But I don't
But what? But I
these
mean, every Metallica, every mainstream Metallica fan knows Sandman and the other radio hits.
Right.
Who's going to come up who's not a diehard Metallica fan and sing "Fear of the Dark" or sing "Number of the Beast"?
Yeah.
Is somebody gonna walk and be like, "I love Iron Maiden," and sing you "Hallowed Be Thy Name"? You know what I mean? Like they've got these amazing songs, but they have an insane career, 50 years now, and they're huge, but they're still underground almost.
Yeah, like to mainstream. I think what it is like metal fans all over the world, we all love Maiden. There's enough metal fans that love Maiden to fill stadiums, to fill arenas, but that's it. You know what I mean? I mean, like there's not a lot of like my mom, okay, she wanted to go see AC/DC. Okay, there's a band as well. Like their audience is all mainstream people, but there's no way that my mom was ever going to go to a Maiden show.
That's a very good point.
So I think it's just like all of metaldom loves Maiden, and there's enough for them to be that big without the mainstream coming along and saying, "Hey, this is good," and jumping on a bandwagon or something. Like that's probably the best way, to describe it. The Red Hot Chili Peppers. Okay, like they broke big in the I guess it was the Blood Sugar Sex Magik, which I got on cassette from Columbia House. I was one of those suckers, okay, that wanted my 12 albums for a penny, and that was one of them. And then all of a sudden I'm getting all of these other cassettes like Collective Soul and all that bullshit. And if I don't re if I if re didn't re you know if I didn't return it, then I ended up having to pay for it and all that bullshit. It's something, it was Columbia House. So anyways, I was actually discovered my first Chili Peppers album, though, was Mother's Milk, the one before that. And I think that was their third album.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. And Mother's Milk was my first one too.
Right. Because here's this, it's fresh, it's exciting, but from my recollection and just from talking to music fans and all that, it seemed like metalheads were the only ones that kind of discovered the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I didn't even know there was, after discovering them with Mother's Milk, I didn't even know there was two other albums. But, apparently, a lot of their audience were metal and punk back then. Now I'm going off the, off the top of my head. I could be wrong with this, but that's definitely one that kind of comes to mind. So, well, if I'm wrong, dear listeners, like let us know. Like if we're wrong with any of this, or you have a differing opinion or whatever, like let us know, because we're doing this by the seat of our pants. I got a list, but there's there's obviously a lot more to it than that. When did you discover Jane's Addiction?
Right after I discovered the Chili Peppers. That
Okay,
happened all in succession.
which album? Sorry? Which album?
Nothing shocking.
Shocking,
I
right.
think, well, shit, was
Yeah.
it that or is it Ritual?
Ritual Dual Habitual.
I think it might have been
Sorry, my
Ritual.
Spanish.
Which one had
Okay.
been caught stealing?
That was their breakthrough record,
Right,
Ritual.
then man, it might have been
The
Ritual and Going Backwards, but
Yeah, okay.
I know Nothing Shocking.
Yes, that was that's that that's how I discovered them. My good buddy Skid actually, what we went to the record store, and he's like, oh, I'm buying this. I'm like, well, what is this? And the cover looked great, but we got it to his place and we put it on, and it's like, what is this? This doesn't sound like Creator. This isn't the Sex Pistols. What's going on with this? I don't know. It
Okay.
sounds good though,
Well, okay, so this is funny. Ritual was only their second album.
I thought there was a record before Nothing Shocking. Oh, okay.
Let me double check here because I'm going to go to another article. But no, Nothing Shocking was 88, and then Ritual was
Right.
90, 1990. And
Right.
then here's the funny part. They didn't do another album until 2003. So those two albums carried Jane's Addiction through all the Lollapaloozas, like, and then I think right after that Perry Farrell spun off into Porno for Pyros.
Porno for Pyros, yeah.
Yeah, like that's
Which I
they're
have that,
almost the Sex Pistols pulling that off
but
for real.
yeah. Holy jeez. I have the Porno for Pyros on cassette down in the vault. I couldn't tell you a single song title or
Pets.
what a single note sounds like.
Pets and Tahitian Moon. I could sing them both for you.
No, okay. I'll have to pull it out. I don't know.
Oh, dude, I don't know how you can forget, because Perry Farrell is one of those singers where he never sings in key, but you like it. You know, because he's always got that real screechy voice. We'll make great pets. We'll make great pets. We'll make great pets. You know, he's almost
Oh.
like Edith Bunker's son, the way that he sings.
Right
You
on.
know?
Which, from pictures that I've seen of Edith Bunker partying in the 70s with Alice Cooper and this dominatrix outfit and all that. She was a lot cooler than we give her credit
Well,
for.
so then this is entirely feasible. This 100%, this is 100% plausible.
It could be, yeah.
And because then, like, even Tahisha Moon's one of my favorites, but it's just like, I don't know if I'll make it home tonight. It's a great tune, but it's just like,
All
how does
right.
he get away with this? Like, but
I'm gonna
I,
have to
yeah.
pull that out.
Oh yeah, you should. It's pretty darn good.
Well, I got a couple more here, but I don't know exactly now that I'm really thinking about it. Like, how much of a mainstream appeal does Ghost have?
I think
Okay,
Ghost
now.
is becoming bigger and bigger and bigger, but they're doing it
Right.
slow enough that people aren't seeing it. It's not the explosion like you saw with Metallica after Sandman, or
Right.
fuck, who did we just say earlier? Soundgarden or Alice in Chains,
Yeah,
right?
Alice in Chains, Green
It
Day,
it's
yeah.
not the explosion. They just keep building a following, and it's
Right.
crazy because, like, you look at them and think there's no way anybody in the mainstream is going to listen to this band, but you listen to the music. So if you're hearing the music first before you see them, it's going to pull you in before the normie has a chance to go,
This is kind of weird. Because, like, I got into Ghost with the first record and the second one when they kind of had like this cool Merciful Fate riffage type vibe to them. And I remember seeing them, they were jerking the curtain on a Mastodon tour, and like there was hardly anyone there to see them. Okay, because you have some of those tours where people are really only concerned with the headliner. They're not too concerned about the support act, especially if there's more than two bands on the bill. It's like, yeah, we'll have another drink before we get to before we make our way out, and you totally miss that first band. And I feel like that was the case with the first time I saw Ghost. Now, the second time Ghost came through town, they were headlining a bigger theater, and it was packed, but it wasn't a huge theater. Okay, I think it maxed at a thousand. And still underground, okay, but you could see they were building, their following. And then I think it was the third record that I'm starting to hear them, not just, on the metal hour that radio stations have, where they'll do metal for an hour or a week or whatever, if that's still a thing. I heard them, like that third album, just regular rotation. I'm at work, it's the middle of the afternoon, okay, and I'm listening, to the corporate rock, mainstream rock station, and Ghost? Really? This is cool, port in the storm, but wow. And then, yeah, they just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and they kind of fell off my radar, not just because they got bigger. I don't want to be that guy. I just there's so many other things, as well. But one of these times I'm gonna have to go back and give the more recent stuff a spin. And we could probably, the same thing, everything we said about Ghost, does that apply to Van Halen as well? Like, their first handful of records in the late 70s and then going into the 80s, I feel like they came out of the LA scene. All right. Supporting Kiss, you know, but Kiss was pretty mainstream as well. So I'm just thinking, like, did the heavier music fan of the 70s, see, I, yeah, but see, sorry, I'm thinking
No, keep rolling through this. This is, yeah, I see where you're going.
five things in my head are going all at once, because the debut record is now Diamond, okay? But I can't help but think it was the 1984 album, okay, that really, like, with the song Jump,
Oh yeah, that's
you
the
know,
album
like
that
that's,
skyrocketed them. Most people did not know anything about Van Halen before 1984.
right. And I feel, yeah, but then again, when it first came out, I was pretty young, you know, but I was fully immersed in music. Just in general, okay. When I first got that record, it was before I went, it was shortly before I went metal full time. And as I recall, a lot of people my age, kids, you know, they were discovering, you know, just through conversations and all that. That's how they discovered Van Halen for the first time, was from the song Jump. So, like, I feel like, yeah, Van Halen kind of had, you know what? No, you're, I'm gonna put this, I'm gonna put them on the list, you know, because when they, you know, in their younger days, I'm really starting to think it was just, you know, the hard rock, you know, and metal fans that were appreciating Van Halen the most. Now, once again, if we're wrong, if you think we're up a hill or up a tree on some of these, by all means, let us know. Let us know. But that's what I got. Do you have anything else on the tip of your brain?
Nah, dude.
Okay, well, this would be a good time to get into some music. And I know this band is not breaking through to the mainstream, but they're absolutely awesome in my book. Let's get in to Modern Thrasher's A Game Over, their new album, Face at the End. This is, I love this song. It's really cool. Give it a really intent listen. This is Neck Breaking Dance.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
And that was a band that definitely had zero mainstream success. As a matter of fact, Demon Pact, this was Eaten Alive, their 1981 7-inch single, part of that whole wave of new wave of British heavy metal. But like that's that and a couple of demo tapes. That was really all that we saw out of Demon Pact. So yeah, they're not going to be challenging Metallica, even the Metallica from, you know, 1983, they're not going to be challenging them, but still, it was a track I wanted to get out to our listeners, because I just don't want, like, the whole new wave of British heavy metal back then in the, the late 70s spilling over into the 80s. There is just so much great music, and I don't want it to be lost to the ages. So we're doing our part to make sure that doesn't happen. That's it to get us on out of here. Guyana, really, really cool band from the 90s on an Osmos Productions band as well. Like, they have their own extensive back catalog, but I stumbled upon their version of Bathory's Reaper from the Bathory tribute album In Conspiracy with Satan. I thought, hey, let's go out with that, because I don't think we've ever played any Guyana at all. If
Oh,
not,
so.
it's been a hell of a long time. So we'll go out with that. How can people get a hold of us?
Well, dear Snowman, radioactivemetal.org, all the episodes, past, present, and future. Facebook.com/radmetal, @radmetal666 on Instagram, radmetal666@gmail.com to drop us a line. Anywhere you can find a podcast, whether that is the Apple Podcast app, Spreaker, Stitcher, what have you, right? Wherever you can find a podcast, you can find us, including Spotify. And the reason we're on Spotify is thanks to the fine folks at the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. Whole host of podcasts you can find out there, not just us in wrestling. Well, I guess it is just us in wrestling, because I think, aren't we the only non-wrestling podcast there?
There is some pop culture podcast and all that, but it's predominantly wrestling, including our sister podcast, Wrestling Night in Canada, with our good buddies, Matt and Dustin. If the world, the wonderful world of wrestling is your thing, we definitely want you, and you definitely should go over there and check those out. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This was a We Knew Him First episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White,
And this is Aaron.
signing off.